Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want him getting on punt. Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino with Roman Oben. We are here Monday to Friday on Giants.com from 12 noon until 1 o'clock Eastern Time each and every weekday to talk about Giants football. Now, right now, the Giants getting ready. They just headed out to the practice field. They're taking on the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. By the way, odd time for the Niners to be playing. They just had a game in New Orleans last weekend. They went to Tennessee to spend the week so that they didn't have to go back to the West Coast and then come back to New York on the East Coast for an early 1 o'clock game, because for them that's 10 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
You played in San Diego, Roman. Before we even go any further, I don't know if anybody's talked about that on the show this week, but an interesting concept by the Niners deciding to stay in Tennessee, realizing that body clock-wise, that would have been a bad deal for them.
Yeah, it was tough. My first year in San Diego in 2004, Coach Schottenheimer at the time started saying, anything, east of Denver is a two-day trip. So, in the division, it was only the Broncos, Raiders, Kansas City. So we had to take – everything was a two-day trip. So out of the eight games we played on the road in San Diego, I would say five, six two-day trips. So Friday, you're practicing. You get on the plane at noon, which is really three. You're landing at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
Physically. And then so Saturday, you need that one day back acclimatization, if you will. And it's tough. This San Francisco 49ers team, playing two games back-to-back on the road. I remember the San Diego Chargers a few years ago. They had to play in London, so they played the Buffalo Bills, stayed on the East Coast, and then flew to London in terms of the league making them accommodating their schedule. And as a member of the Giants going West Coast, one year we played – we played the 49ers on a Monday night game.
Right.
Stayed in Arizona for a week and then played the Cardinals the very next week. So,
Every coach has a different way of going about it. Tom Coughlin always goes out one day before, no matter where he's going
to
go.
Right. But when you're playing from west to east, it's not about the game being at 1 o'clock, kickoff being, physically 10 o'clock in the morning. It's pregame warm-up. It's that pregame breakfast.
Right.
So you're waking up the equivalent of 5 o'clock in the morning to
breakfast,
play.
Breakfast, like cookies.
Yeah. And you're waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to play. And, some teams may practice at 10 in the morning the week that you have to play a West Coast team. So I've done it a lot of different ways. But, again, that practicing at 10 o'clock in the morning to get yourself used to playing at 10 o'clock in the morning physically on that Sunday, a lot of things you can do differently. But the fact that the 49ers chose to stay in Tennessee this week – as a way to get ready for that biological clock, if you will. And if you go back to last year, everyone says what killed the 49ers in the playoffs were repetitive East Coast road trips that prevented them from advancing to the Super Bowl.
All right, it's 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat if you'd like to get on to the program. We should take a quick look at the Giants injury report. Now, we know that Jaquan Williams and Peyton Hillis are coming off of a concussion. Not a good situation. Hillis is doing better. Jaquan Williams, I don't have much information on. But obviously, they got to go through the NFL protocol before they're even allowed to get back on the practice field.
Right.
Now, with only one day left to practice, and then there's a walkthrough on Saturday, I would say it's probably not looking too good for either one of those guys to play. That's bad because the Giants are certainly hurting for depth at running back. We know Michael Cox is now on injured reserve because of a broken leg.
Right.
And we know that linebacking-wise, Jaquan Williams is by far the fastest and most athletic linebacker they have, and you need a guy like him against Kaepernick and company with the Niners.
Yeah, Jaquan Williams, even early in his career, he was a guy responsible for, Michael Vick.
Well, he could spy.
Shadowing him or spying him. When you play, when they play New Orleans, Darren Sproles, those kind of guys, Jaquan Williams athletically matches up well, having to shadow those guys. I think they are losing a lot athletically, not having Jaquan Williams on the field, regardless of the fact that defense had a lot of breakdowns last Sunday's game. So now it becomes, is it Spencer Paysinger or Mark Herzlich, I would obviously vote for Spencer Paysinger being the more athletic of the two that would have that responsibility.
Makes sense.
And I said this yesterday. The 49ers with Colin Kaepernick, because he's longer, he's a taller guy, he's not, you know, Russell Wilson's about 5'11", 5'10", a little choppier, a little shorter. So when you're a long strider, it takes you a while to get going. I mean, you can get to Colin Kaepernick and not let him get that edge and that big piece of real estate the Giants have given up defensively a lot this season, especially last week going down the sideline. So you can get to Kaepernick easier than you can get to Russell Wilson.
I'm going to ask you a question that I was asked this morning on Joe and Evan's show on WFAN. They said to me, what do you think about maybe shadowing Kaepernick with a safety if the linebackers aren't athletic enough? And that's an interesting call. Because if you do that, now Frank Gore and their physical run game, because they use a lot of double tight end sets, they could then just bludgeon you if you go with the safety package.
Yeah, and I think if you look at this approach, you know, we're comparing, obviously, the 49ers to the Seahawks, but, you know, same blue-collar team, similar in approach. But, again, I think the 49ers, again, they will line up in two tights. They will want to beat you up, and Frank Gore – he doesn't have the highlights of running over an entire team and bouncing off, you know, eight defenders. But in terms of what Frank Gore does throughout the course of a game in the fourth quarter, it's a little more punishing in a different way than with beast mode, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. And, again, obviously at the quarterback position, you have a quarterback that's not as shifty as Russell Wilson. You know, it takes Colin Kaepernick a longer time to really get the edge and generate momentum. So, but – it all starts with the defensive integrity, gap, lane integrity. I don't expect the defense to play as poorly as they did last week. I mean, 350 yards on the ground is not acceptable. Obviously, half of them coming from quarterback. Most of that just coming from when you're always playing on your heels, Paul. I got one eye on this guy, one eye on the guy. You end up not blocking anybody or not tackling either one. And when you're tackling or trying to tackle a running back who's already at full speed and now you're reacting to him, you will get ran over. I go to last week. There was a play where Marshawn Lynch ran over ran over McLean. And he ran him over, fine. But he ran him over because he already had his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage going forward, and McLean was still running at him at that angle.
Right.
If they were both squared, it would have been more of a stalemate. So it looks bad for the defensive player in that circumstance. But I don't care if it's Pop Warner. You're taught – get to the sideline. Get your shoulder square to line of scrimmage before the defender can square himself, and you have the advantage. You're out leveraging him. And Marshawn Lynch has made a history out of squaring his shoulders immediately and going forward when defense is still trying to get to that position.
That's what makes him really good.
Yeah, and that's what makes him good. And he's got a natural ability to do that.
Yes,
I mean, you go back to, I mean, I play with Mike Allstott and some guys like that. I mean, that could. I mean, they made a history out of just running over defenders because they always found a way to just have better leverage than those guys. You know, I have to say one thing, and I've been getting attacked a little bit on Twitter about my approach here and about the fans start asking. You know, first of all, this isn't the NBA where you start playing young guys and tanking it so you can get the top three pick. You don't want that in the NFL because that means a lot of other things are going to happen negatively. You don't play younger guys just to get them playing time because they're still not as good as the starters and you're still trying to win every game. And so I think a few weeks ago we've had this Corey Washington discussion and I'm not insulting fans or I'm not insulting their intelligence, but I think the premise is from a player standpoint, you've got to go with the best combination that gives the best chance of winning. There's been an attack on Reuben Randle. Maybe from a fan's perspective, he's not where he needs to be. Why don't you throw Corey Washington in there? Corey Washington has worked his way up to demand, you know, a little bit more playing time each week. But we're in the building, Paul, and I'm not in the meetings. I'm not on the field. I don't know where Corey Washington is in terms of mental reps, in terms of him as a special teamer.
Well, we
know where Tom Coughlin, how he says, you've got to do the best you can when you don't have a football in your
hand. Folks, I'm going to help alleviate Roman's burden on this one. I did some investigating on Corey Washington.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Corey Washington has not lived up to the required elements during the week. And that's why he's not playing on Sunday, which is something we assumed, knowing that Tom Coughlin makes you earn your snaps before you get to play on game day. Well, guess what? That assumption has proven to be correct. Did a little research on it. Corey Washington has not been great Monday through Saturday.
Right.
And that's why he's not getting more reps.
And again,
but again, the other side to that is 2 weeks ago when Preston Parker wasn't producing, you say, well, you got nothing to lose by throwing him in. Well, Preston Parker had a pretty good bounce back game in Seattle. I have to be honest
with
you.
And that's why I say these guys are professionals. You have to let them bounce back. You have to let them respond. And the bottom line, again, this isn't the NBA. It's not about getting one guy all the shots. You don't sign LeBron and you're automatically expected to go to the Super Bowl the next year. So many things have to work well for you to get to that dance, if you will, in the NFL. In that case, it would be a Broncos and whoever every year in the Super Bowl. Other things have to happen for you to go all the way.
I'm going to throw him a little bit of a life raft here because I know the fans are frustrated. I get that, and you know nobody likes to deal with that kind of toxic environment. But the thing about might as well just lose games now and get a better draft pick. I think all of us when we're 6 and 7 and 8 years old think that about our favorite teams because you don't want to see the losing anymore and you're like, okay, you know, we got to get better players, so we got to get a better draft pick. But here's the thing. What you learn as you get a little bit older is that every player in that locker room is collecting a paycheck.
Right.
Every single one of those guys needs to earn that paycheck every time he steps into that locker room or out on the practice field or on game day when he puts that helmet on.
Right.
And you know what? It's not in the best interest of that player to go losing games to get a better draft pick because what he does and what he puts on tape is a direct reflection of what he's supposed to be earning.
Exactly, and it's
not a good idea to start tanking games.
And the other 31 teams in the NFL look at that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at guys that are free agents, you're going to have a JPP discussion at the end of the year. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with a few other guys.
I just wanted to get that out for you.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. And, again, I'm not going to ever apologize for having the viewpoint of a guy who was in a locker room for 12 seasons in the NFL and made a living with my hand on the ground and in huddles. And as a pro athlete, you remember the games that you lost more than the games that you won.
And unfortunately, Roman, you did play on some teams that didn't do so well.
Well, yeah, I mean.
You know what that's about.
You think I don't still think about that Minnesota Vikings wild card game in 97? I mean, I'm sure Giants fans.
Yeah, but at least it was a playoff game. I mean, you played on some teams that had bad seasons.
Listen, I tell Giants fans all the time, I blocked for 4 quarterbacks in 4 years. Dave Brown, Danny Cannell, Kent Graham, and Kerry Collins came in my last year. And then when I left here. To go to the Browns, you know, and that's when Kerry Collins, they went to the Super Bowl the next year, Super Bowl 34. So
right.
I was happy for the organization, but, yeah, I was here during the lean years. And I joke about this with Carl Banks and these guys that there was always like some type of dark cloud umbrella over those 90s teams because those 86 and 90s Giants would always come back and look at us like, what are you guys doing? You guys aren't good Giants. We were real Giants, and when they won it in 07, I called Amani Toomer. I remember this conversation. I said, Toom,
right.
I'm so glad you won a Super Bowl because now you can get those 86 and 90 Giants off your backs. And then they won it again in 2011. So, but again, we're dealing with the 2014 Giants team who's obviously have some struggles, and they got knocked down in that Philadelphia Eagles game and haven't recovered. So, you know, my theme for this week is really this team has to find a way to reestablish their identity.
The problem is they're so shorthanded, Roman, I don't know if they can. They are missing so many important parts that at this point in time, for them to climb out of this hole, I don't know if they have a shovel big enough to do it. And that's the shame of it.
Yeah.
You know, because they want to, obviously. But do they have enough bullets to do it? And against a very difficult Niners team coming off a win last week in New Orleans, it is a tall, tall order to ask. Look, the Giants have brought their A game once all season long. I mean, total A game.
Houston.
This is the best we can play.
Maybe Houston game. And you look at the quarterback. I mean, I heard a stat. I think it was Anita Marks that told me that over the last 2 years, the Giants have only beaten 2 quality starting quarterbacks.
That's correct.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the two. Oh,
well, one of them is Ryan, Matt Ryan
Matt
from
Ryan,
Atlanta.
Right.
And by the way, the Giants played a great second half that day, but the first half wasn't so good.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
You know.
And speaking of last year, at 3-6, the Giants have the same exact record as they did this time last year.
Problem is right now they're so badly beaten, it almost feels like the arrow's going down.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Paul, if you look at the phases.
Health-wise.
I read Giants Insider, a magazine, a lot, and Ken Palmer's done a good job for years. He's a good friend, colleague
sure.
of yours.
Sure.
And he had a stat last week that I think 91 total games last year were lost as a result of injury collectively. So if and I'd like to see where this team is now as far as who's lost. I mean, you start the season with Dave Wilson missing 16 games.
I haven't done the number. But you know what?
But
I remember
it's got to be at least halfway to 90.
I remember the 83 Giants when Parcells was a rookie head coach, 3-12-1. And that was my first year covering the team.
Right.
They lost like 135 games, manpower games, to injury that season. And I remember telling my dad, this Parcells guy, he's good. He's the real deal. I think in 3 years, the Giants will be a playoff team. Well, you know what? He got him there a lot quicker than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He did. And he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to the phones. Is it Ishal from New Jersey? You're first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi, it's Sheil. Hi, can you hear me?
We got
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
We're well. How are you?
Good. Big Giants fan. Obviously, you know, we're not open to see a season like this throughout the off season, and obviously the injuries are killing us. I just had a question on Payne Hillis. What's his status? I know he might not play against 49ers, but...
Yeah, he's coming off of a concussion, which means the NFL's independent medical folks have to clear him with their concussion tests before he can even get out to practice. So, at this moment, we're not out at practice. I don't think he's out there working today. I don't think so. But there, you know, there's a step that has to be taken first. I'd say it's unlikely he plays.
Yeah, and in term, and then, yes, Ishiel, correct? If he was taken home, he was told to go home yesterday. So unless you're asymptomatic within 3 days of the initial injury and you show no symptoms, and it's already Thursday, I don't know how much better you get in 2 days. And again, I mean, the focus here is the life of your career, not the football part, because you don't want any, you know, the league has done an incredible job of ensuring that, you know, any long-term health effects are affected as a result of coming back to play just for the sake of playing.
Don't forget, Hillis had a concussion when he was here with the Giants last year, too.
Right, exactly.
So that's 2 years.
When you've had a second or multiple concussions, I don't know how many he had in Cleveland or wherever, younger in his career, so
yeah.
Those things start to add up. So it's more about being precautious than anything. But, yeah, but 100%, the Giants are thin at the running back position, so this is a week where the return of Rashad Jennings would be desperately needed and appreciated.
Took us almost 20 minutes to get into that. Rashad Jennings working out really, really well. It looks like he's a go. All systems seem to point that way. They certainly do need him. Let's go back to the calls. Let's see. We have Jeff from Long Island. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I called yesterday. I kind of got disconnected somehow or other, but... The point I wanted to make was I just couldn't understand how the I know Sunday's game is ancient history, but how the defensive ends kept getting caught inside and, you know, allowing a quarterback pretty much to run at will. And what I wanted to say was to Roman was you know, if you had Andy Robustelli up there, number 81, playing out there at defensive end, I'm sure that wouldn't have happened. But again, I can't understand with the, you know, guys like Kiwi that have been around for 10 years or so. You know, why was that happening repeatedly, you know, and why didn't it stop happening? That was driving me crazy the whole game. So that's pretty much the biggest point I wanted to make. So I'll hang up and listen to your response, okay? And
Thank you,
guys,
Jeff.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, the 24-hour rule was in effect Monday afternoon, and I think Jeff can, you know, go to Giants.com and read a lot of the, you know, the Monday, go back and read some of the Monday quotes and what Coach Coughlin said Monday. And I think really the emphasis now is the San Francisco 49ers.
It is.
And just really, and I don't expect, and I'll say this again, I don't expect the defense to play that poorly on the edges 2 weeks in a row. I think to a man, you have to be accountable. We talked about these are all professional athletes that get paid to do a job. And whether that's JPP, Kiwanuka, DeMarre Moore, outside linebackers, whoever has their responsibilities, they have to fulfill those responsibilities. To prevent that from happening. So, but, you know, you are what you put on tape. Coach Parcells was a famous quote.
No question.
You are what you put on tape.
Yep.
And if it's bad stuff you put on tape, teams will try that again and see if you found a way to fix it. Otherwise, they will see a lot of those fake read option hold it and try to bounce around to the outside.
You know what I will say, Roman, and I understand, you know, the perplexion by the fans about what was going on, because the Giants knew
right.
what Seattle was going to run.
Right.
They'd seen it on tape.
Right.
And yet they didn't do anything to stop it. I think what happened was, and, you know, I was in the building, so maybe it was a little different perspective on TV. But I will say this, just to close the book on this issue. It looked like that the Giants' ends and even the backers and the corners, everybody was so focused on, we're going to stop Marshawn Lynch. We know they're going to drive the ball between the tackles with Marshawn Lynch. And how many times, right off the get-go of the snap, you could see the Giants defenders already pinching in
right.
because they were so over-anxious. We're going to get to that hole before Marshawn Lynch gets there because, you know, once he gets ahead of steam, he's a problem. So you got to stop him from getting through that first hole. So we're going to crash it down inside the tackles. Well, what happens when you do that? You over-pursue. You leave your lane too soon.
Right.
And then it leaves a vacancy on the outside.
Right.
And to me, that's what I saw time and time and time again. Guys weren't holding their water, maintaining their discipline, and they were too anxious to try to crash down on Marshawn Lynch. And the Seahawks just ate them up with that.
Yeah, and I go back to the Super Bowl that the Ravens played against the San Francisco 49ers in 2013. You look at what Colin Kaepernick did the week before. I think it was against Green Bay in the championship game, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They played
yep.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he rushed for 200 yards. But
yep.
The next week, or actually 2 weeks later, the Super Bowl, He didn't rush. I don't think he rushed for 20. I don't think he rushed for 50 yards because I think the Ravens said, we're going to hit this guy no matter what. If it's within the rules, as he hands it off, you've got to hit the quarterback. And that makes him not want to go out there and run.
I preach that, Roman.
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's safety, but if you're the ball, if you have chosen to be the ball carrier, you should get hit as a ball carrier does get hit.
The quarterback needs to pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? All right. Brian from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Roman. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Hi. Yourself? What do you got?
Oh, yeah. I was just referencing. I just had a question about I know our cornerback position is definitely depleted. And I believe, you know, like I've just been several questions, you know, like just from reading articles on New York Post and you know, from fans. So one of the things I wanted to know, you know, what's the deal with, you know, with avoiding Terrell Thomas? You know, I know that, you know, he got cut from the Seahawks. But as far as health-wise, you know, as far as the Giants, why haven't they even tried to, you know, pursue him?
I'm going
to
make this one real simple for you. Did you have another point, or you just want me to answer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, another thing is, which an assessment that I actually, just from reviewing the game against Seattle and just this upcoming game, the run game is definitely going – this is going to help out. If you can't make a run off of this, I don't know how we can. I definitely believe with Jennings coming back, this opens up a lot of options for Eli where he does not have to always, you know, try to – you know, make the short pass or make the long play, the big play. So I'm definitely optimistic, you know, because at this point, the games have to be won off of offense. You know, we have to just be. Ultimately, I think it's just going to ultimately come down to just if the offense is clicking. And I think with the running game, this will definitely open up some options.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the call. I will answer your question about Terrell Thomas. Terrell Thomas, during the last part of last season, wasn't able to practice. The Giants had to manage his knee, his torn ACL, which had been three times
right.
torn. It was a miracle he was able to come back and even play, okay? So they didn't work him out during the week during practice, and he would just go out there on game day and give them whatever it was that he got. They were able to milk that cow all the way to the end of the season. And basically, the Giants are of the belief that that knee just can't hold up anymore
right.
and that he just doesn't have anything left to give.
Yeah.
Again, it was a miracle and a great story that he had actually come back and played.
Yeah.
It was a marvelous story, and everybody was rooting for him. Now, to further enhance that belief, when the Seattle Seahawks brought him up to camp earlier this year, that was Pete Carroll, his old coach at USC,
right.
who if anybody besides the Giants was going to give Terrell Thomas another chance, it would be him. And what, after a week, he was cut by the Seahawks, and they let him go too. The knee must have used up all of its plays,
right?
And it's time. And I feel bad, but that's it.
Yeah, and the difference, and Paul, I played 12 years in the NFL, and I got injured in my 10th year, foot injury, got put on, it was like week 12 or so, I got put on PUP, had reconstructive foot surgery, came back the next year, I was on, I played in two games, and I was more like goal line, tight end, field goal, you know, protection, and then my last year, you know, someone else was starting at left tackle, and I was like the third tackle, and your body knows. And unless you have a team, you know, and I commend the Chargers for keeping me on the roster that last year because for what I did, not at left tackle, but in the locker room, in a community, I mean, that means something. And I commend the Giants organization for really sticking with Terrell Thomas during that period where a lot of teams would have cut him. And I know he's a first-round pick and would have cut him and sent him off.
Well, to his credit, though, Roman, he did play the whole season and he did give them snaps. He did give them snaps. He was a useful player.
Yeah, but again, in terms of loyalty, to get injured, come back. I mean, some teams, I've seen teams that just injury settlement, let the guy go, make another team. But they gave an opportunity.
Absolutely.
They gave every opportunity to come back and play. And I think on a better team, if the Giants, let's say, had gone 12-4 last year and gone to the championship game, he's comeback player of the year. His contributions warranted him being like a contender for comeback player of the year. And then you go to Seattle, again, like you said, Pete Carroll, if there's anybody any more loyal than the Giants organization, it would have been his college coach who's the head coach.
No doubt about it.
Again, to your point, if he didn't see the value and said, listen, if you can't get through practice – and it's another thing. If you can't practice and you're practicing once a week or on Fridays, it's hard to run scout team. It's hard. I mean, you're always constantly having to work your way around that because you don't have the numbers like you had in college. So, I mean, for that reason alone, just like Ahmad Bradshaw with his neck issue, he was only practicing Fridays at one point.
Right. Sometimes not even.
Yeah. So that means a practice squad guy or somebody else is taking those extra reps. Those backup reps that you're not taking. So it becomes, can this guy even practice and help us prepare besides just play? And
it's an issue.
Yeah, and then I'll answer the question from Brian about the running game. Look, go back to that Houston game, Rashad Jennings. I think he has 160 yards, whatever he runs for that game. It gives you so many options. It gives you so many options downfield when you have that. I think Andre Williams was kind of, he's done an admirable job, but he's been, like, running not to fumble in terms of how you evaluate it from an X's and O's standpoint. But Rashad Jennings coming back, I think that'll give this offense, this team, the spark that they need 100%.
Who don't remember, and you just referred to it, against the Texans, 34 carries for 176 yards and a touchdown.
176 yards. And I think they had, just shy of 200 yards rushing for the day as an offense. You're talking about an offense that desperately missed Rashad Jennings since he left. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Eli Manning's longest run in the game was an 18-yard scamper.
In the four games that Jennings has missed, the Giants have averaged 83 yards rushing as a team.
Yeah, and 3.8 yards a carry, which is not enough. It's not going to get it done in the NFL.
Okay, let's see here. Was that Brian from North Carolina? We're done with him already?
Yep.
All right, so we're done with him. Lines are open, 201-939-4513. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So hurry, get a free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. We appreciate their participation in the program. Giants and Niners coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock here at MetLife Stadium. Giants losers of four straight trying to turn the corner. Let's get a look here, Roman, if we have any Twitter messages that we might be able to hit up here since we have a momentary lull in the phone lines. Sonny Boy says a lot of these players made their bed. And you know what? Ultimately, Roman, whatever you want to say about the scouts or the coaches or the GM, the players still have to play. And Giants got a lot of backup players in a lot of spots because they're hurt. But the truth of the matter is they haven't played well.
Yeah, and if you want to have the talent discussion, and I know there's an article this week about the failed first-round picks and the failed draft picks over Jerry Reese's tenure, and I don't really care to get into that discussion. Is it talent? Is it injuries? Is it poor execution?
It's a lot.
I think it's a lot, and I think sometimes it's been a combination of the three where the Giants didn't make that one play or that two plays that really shift the momentum of a football game. I mean, go back to the Arizona game. Rashad Jennings fumbled on himself.
Yeah.
That made a difference in the game. I mean, look,
that's
at
a game
the
they gave away, too.
Yeah, I mean, and look at last week, Odell Beckham being a heads-up guy, just swatting the ball away from Richard Sherman. Unfortunately,
Earl Thomas is
there for the intercept. I mean, that's at least 3 points. That's a 10-point shift.
And
I think when you're a team that's on the cusp of being a good team or an average team, I mean, there are things you have to do to get over that hump. And the Giants, in specific incidences, look, we can go over the injuries.
There's no point.
Yeah.
Right now, it is what it is. Yeah. 4-game losing streak, 3-6. Giants are trying to get back on the winning ways against San Francisco. Gustavo says the Giants are good at pass rush penetration but just don't finish. Yes, he's quoting me and agreeing with me that they don't finish off and get no sacks because they're getting in the backfield. I'm telling you, folks, I see it every week.
Yeah, you haven't. And then this offense hasn't put them in a position where there's a clear lead. I mean,
well, that
usually happens.
They don't play from ahead a lot.
No, I mean, and in a good football team, the teams that are winning 12, 13 games, half the games they play, I'd say 5 or 6 games, they're going to be in a lead in the fourth quarter, up by 10, up by 7. That other team's going to have to throw the ball to win. That's when the defense gets all their stats. So, and obviously, there hasn't been a lot of games, if any. I think Houston game, maybe Atlanta at the end where they were getting their sacks, getting their turnovers. I mean, that's the last time I saw this Giants team just having fun playing football.
All right, we have Joey Amazin, and this is an interesting comment, although I have an answer for you. He says, no Beeson, no Jaquan Williams, linebacker position shot. Man up Giants and sign Michael Sam. Well, Michael Sam's already been with 2 NFL teams during the course of his rookie season, was on the practice squad of both, and got cut from the practice squad of both, which basically tells you, and I'm telling you, folks, he's just not that good, okay? Clearly, he was in camp with 2 teams. If he had something that was worth keeping at the NFL level, somebody would have kept him.
Right.
But 2 teams have gotten rid of him already, the Rams and the Cowboys. So, no, the answer is do not sign Michael Sam. That's not going to help this situation at all.
And I think, Paul, when you get cut from practice squad, I mean, there's what?
That's not good.
8, 10 practice squad decorations.
There's 8 per team.
8 per team.
That's not good.
That means you're not good enough for the team to feel like they need to just still develop you.
Right.
Because they can develop someone else.
Yeah.
So that really speaks for itself.
All right. Let's see. Chris Stellatella says, you and Roman are the best. Wish you guys would do games.
We did 2 minutes of the St. Louis Rams game.
A couple of years ago. That's when Dominic Kixon blew out his knee in the end zone.
Yeah, and he caught the we had a poetic kind of stance on that touchdown.
Actually, you know what's funny about that? That clip and that call made it into the Giants Super Bowl video that year.
Credits.
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, we didn't get credit.
They didn't credit us into the credits, but the call made it in.
Yep. Good job, man.
Posterity, baby. We're there. We're there. Permanently. You can't erase us. We're on the DVD.
Who does Fordham? Maybe you and I could do some Fordham games.
Yeah, right? I don't even know. I guess they're televised. That's probably part of the Patriot package. I don't know who's got them, but anyway. T. Glanda says, easy, fire fuel and bring in Spags. I guess he's talking about the defensive coordinator. Look, I'm not going to tell you that Perry Fuel has done a great job. Clearly, something's not right there. But I will also say to you that if Steve Spagnuolo were the defensive coordinator of this defense right now, all right, maybe they wouldn't be 32nd, but they wouldn't be a top 5 or top 10 because there are too many missing pieces.
Yeah.
It's so easy to criticize when, you know, it's not at full strength. And I think that's the one thing that I want to say. And I love Steve Spagnuolo.
Right.
Let me make something very clear. He's a paisan. I love the guy, okay? But we remember, as Giants people here, Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator with a defense that was very good,
right,
that won a Super Bowl, and basically that was the high mark of Steve Spagnuolo's coaching career.
Right.
So just because he comes back, let's just say for argument's sake he does, do you automatically think you're going to get that? Michael Strahan's not here. OC's not here. Tuck's not here. Antonio Pierce is not here.
AP, I mean, Sam Madison's
right?
not here.
Right? All right? So it may not be exactly. So understand, folks, when you wish for something like that, it doesn't mean you're going to get a repeat of what you had the first time.
Right.
And that's the only thing I say about that. George Young would always say, and I miss the man terribly.
Yeah,
he was a good
too.
Friend of mine.
Yeah, me too.
George would always say, well, you know, before you ask the question, you better have a good answer ready.
Yeah.
Right?
You're exactly right.
Well, I don't know. I don't know right now, you know, what the Giants are going to do with their coaching staff or with their front office situation. I do know it'll all be examined after the wash is dry at the end of the season, because now is not the time to think about that. It really isn't. Now, ownership needs to get their ducks in order, and they need to think about, okay, look, if this does go bad, we need to just be ready to mobilize. That's true. They do need to do that. But in terms of actually thinking about seriously making moves right now, there are too many games to play. You can't do that in the middle of a season, Roman. Just like as a player, you can't check out in the middle of a season and say, I'm done here. It's not going to work out. You can't do it.
Yeah, and Paul, there's so much work and studying and training and film study and all those things involved just to prepare yourself to play on Sundays that you can't start thinking about 2015. You can't be – I mean, look, I've been on teams where you just – you know, a guy like Adrian Robinson, you just cut him just to make a statement on the team to the young guys to show who's in control. And I don't think the Giants – or Tom Coughlin, at least.
Jim Fossil used to do that.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what? It does get people's attention, and maybe you try that once, but I don't think you keep going to the well with that because that's counterproductive.
No.
Maybe once it gets somebody's attention.
No, I agree, but I think this is a game. You know, we've said this for 4 weeks in terms of must win.
Oh, golly!
But in terms of where the 49ers are. Versus where they've been the last few years. I know Alden Smith's coming back. I know they've got some players coming back. Where the 49ers team is right now, they're in their own dogfight in their division. They got a gift when Carson Palmer got injured.
They're 5-4.
Yeah, they're 5-4. I mean, overtime game last year on the road to be away from home, practicing again, now traveling again. I mean, that does do something to the preparation. This offense, Paul, have found a way to start. Now, they didn't score last week. They found a way to start fast. They scored in the opening quarter,
right?
Put some points on the board early, and defense did not keep up with their end of the bargain, especially given the comments by Antoine Roe last week. JP, we got to fight back. We have to fight. And they didn't fight last week. They gave up 350 on the ground. But I think this offense will continue to explode. You've got Jennings coming back this week, and I think defense will respond from the poor performance last week because of the leadership of people like Antoine Roe. I mean, he's been a mainstay back there, and he's really been the glue that's kept it together. Unfortunately, vocally, from an offensive player standpoint, he's going to always give you that defensive approach.
Now,
we got to fight. We got to, you know, we got to react. No, we got to execute. And I've said that more than a few times. But I think this is a game that the Giants can win if they play the second half, a full game like they played in the first half last week.
They've got to bring their A game where they have no chance.
Yeah, and then you got Dallas at home.
And by the way,
Sunday night,
the Jets beat the Steelers last weekend. So just when you think it's impossible, something crazy happens in this league.
Yeah, and being in the New York market, you don't want to hear some of the national guys, Lupica and all these guys, saying, well, the Giants are one game better than the Jets and you know, all this stuff. And we don't get into that stuff. But again,
they're not even in the same division. What do I care?
Yeah, but in terms of
I mean, really,
in terms of the, you talk about the injuries, talk about the talent, but in terms of the integrity of what's in that locker room, there's still enough in that locker room to salvage this season to somewhat. Now, does that mean go on a run and go 10? No, I don't know if that's realistic or not. But this season can be salvaged to some degree and show the fight and the dog and the things that players had said that this team lacked.
Simply put, Roman, just try to win every game each and every
week.
Yeah,
and
let the chips fall where they may.
That's the goal.
All.
The results have not been that.
That's true. Tom Rack of Newsday, as we get the information now from practice, again, we've been in here, haven't been outside. He says no sign of Peyton Hillis or Jaquan Williams. No sign of Hillis. Jaquan Williams is on the side wearing sweats, went inside early during practice. I think that means with the concussion situation, you're not going to see them this week. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
Also says that Jeff Schwartz was wearing sneakers while the rest of the players were in cleats, probably an indication he is still far off. So those are three you know, names that we were talking about, their status during practice. Also, I saw some of the tweets from the writers. Rashad Jennings is working at practice, as we've expected now. He's been already working for over a week.
Right.
So all systems look to be go for Rashad Jennings. All right, Roman, let's go back to the phone calls. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. Lorenzo from Virginia, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, look, real quickly, just had a question in regards to, you know, I just from the game plan and from watching the game, it just seems like our guys are just, they seem to be incredibly inept at trying to execute proper technique and the coach's game plan. And I'd love to get you all's thoughts as it pertains to the level of toughness that the offensive line and as well as the defensive line has. I think we have some incredibly probably smart guys and guys with high intellect. But in terms of the level of their toughness, I think there's a dearth of that on the team. I'd love to get you all's thoughts.
All right, Lorenzo, we'll let you go and we'll answer this. I will give one quick comment, and then I want Roman to piggyback. You talk about guys like Roll, Beeson, McLean, Cullen Jenkins. They're tough. You got a bunch of tough guys. DRC, he's tough.
Right.
Hard, he'll chew nails for you.
Right.
DRC is basically chewing nails as he's trying to get out there every week to play.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with that. What I will say is that the offensive line is not your typical blue-collar, lunch pail, bloody your nose, get down and dirty in the mud, physical, nasty power offensive line that the Giants had been successful with in the past. This is more of a technique offensive line, if you will. Roman and I have been talking about this for years.
Right.
We understand each other on this one. That's where, if you want to make the comment or the complaint, you can make it. The only thing that I would say to warn you about is that there are many offensive lines in this league who have gone the technique route,
right,
and the zone blocking schemes and stuff of that nature, and right, they've won.
Right.
So it's not like you can't win that way. It's a matter of what is your preference. Personally, I prefer the power line. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean you can't win with the other.
I mean, listen, one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest in NFL history, and you know, Peyton Manning, he's never had tough physical offensive lines.
No,
they're good athletes. They're good pass blockers. And he gets rid of the ball quick, and he spreads everybody out, and that works well for that type of line. Roethlisberger, for example, he's always had big physical guys. Everything's based off the run.
The Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers. I played on lines that were athletic, physical, and lines that were just blue-collar guys that would just beat you up. So it's you've got to play the hand that you've got, but everyone still has to improve at the level that they're capable of improving. We've seen a better Will Beatty this year than last year.
Big ups to him, by the way.
Yeah, you haven't heard his name much.
He's rebounded well.
Justin Pugh's playing better. I mean, the Eagles game is obviously, and he admitted that was his worst game.
And since then, he has played better.
Yeah, since then, he's played better.
Absolutely.
I see him out there working. I see him working after practice. You know, the inside three, I think we saw some breakdowns. And again, this is the line that wasn't supposed to be the starting line. So, you know, if it's, J.D. Walton or Weston Richburg at left guard, the reps he's getting now, just like Justin Pugh last year, that's going to help his career.
Yep.
That's going to help him next year if he's able to move back to center. And hopefully when Schwartz comes back, you'll start to see, you know, the line start to improve. And I don't know. I mean, we haven't heard anything from Brandon Mosley this year, obviously. But, again, the formula is there for the offensive line to do well. But I'm willing to see how much better this offensive line is now you have Rashad Jennings running the ball, where – you're blocking, and I've been on these lines. You're blocking. You're trying to create the hole, and the running back cuts it back, or he just runs it up the middle, or he doesn't bounce it. I mentioned in just objective criticism about Andre Williams sometimes running not to fumble versus running loose. Now, you put Rashad Jennings in the game, you're loosening up a defense, and then you put Andre Williams in the second half of the fourth quarter, and you're knocking people out. And I played on the line when we had LaDain Thompson in San Diego. You put Michael Turner and Darren Sproles in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's like 7-on-7.
Yeah.
I mean, they're gashing 20, 30-yard runs, and then that's how you develop confidence.
So. We saw Andre Williams do it in the preseason, so we know the skill set's there.
Yeah, it's there.
It's experience he needs.
Yeah. And as he gets better, he will start to become the guy that he was in college. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in a lot of the personnel decisions and the talent that's been brought into this building.
I better get to this spot before the next caller, because the next caller is going to be very animated and have a lot to say, Roman.
Oh, Shakes from
Baltimore. Yeah, yeah, Shakes. Hold on just a second. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get a free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter Code Blue to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Blue for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Are you ready for this call?
I'm ready.
Let's positive.
I hope so.
Seatbelt?
Seatbelt strapped. I got the 5-point like the kids, the 5-point seatbelt.
Shakes from Baltimore. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Y'all getting ready for me like I'm a roller coaster.
Bring it, my friend. What do you got?
All right, first off, I wanted to say this. I agree with you on this, P-Dot, that I think you said it too, Roman. We can't lay down. I mean, this is the NFL, man. People got jobs, man.
Yeah.
These players got families. Ain't nobody laying down. So for the Kashawns and everybody else that just want to lay down and get a high draft pick, a top five, it's not going to happen. We're going to go on a little run. Now, is it going to make us go to the playoffs? Maybe not. But I know that we're going to go on the run. And it's, we're not going to get a top five, top seven pick. We just not. And I don't even want to root for that. I waited so long in the off season to watch some football to give up on it at mid-season. It's pathetic.
Shakes,
I'm not doing that.
I have always said, and again, I've been doing this for 32 years, I have always said nothing worse, all right, for a diehard NFL football fan to watch exhibition games in December.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want that.
That's the worst.
I remember when Chris Berman on ESPN used to always and I've been a part of these games. Like the Browns, we played the Bengals. We both were 2-11 at the end, and they were like 1-1. They call it the Super Bowl, the battle to see who's going to get the first pick overall.
You don't want to just touch that.
You don't want to be a part of that.
That smells bad. And remember, Wellington Mara, God rest his soul, I love the man. He would always say he believed it was his responsibility that the organization would be playing a meaningful game in its last home game of the season.
Right.
So that the fans who spent their hard-earned money for those season tickets would have a reason to come to that final home game.
Yeah.
And he's right, because – hey, it takes time, effort, and funds for people to come to your games, to come to your stadium, to be there on Sunday to cheer for the team. And he's right. The responsibility of the organization is to give them something to cheer for, give them something to root for, make the game matter. So you know what? It's not December yet. The Giants still have time to win some games, to make those December games at least mean something. And let's see if that happens.
I wanted to say one more thing, and I want to ask y'all something, then I can get off. I'll get off and listen to what y'all say. But I wanted to say this, and Roman, I mean, I respect your opinion and everything, but I know you in with hot little water with Giant Nation in this matter. But I'm
still love you guys.
I'm gonna take up for Giant Nation too for this.
Right.
Okay. Now the Washington thing, I get what y'all saying. I get what you're saying, the practice. But see, we're talking about practice here. I'm going Allen Iverson.
Don't pull an Iverson. Shakes. Don't do that. Let me finish.
We're talking about practice here. But every time we throw him in the game, he scores touchdowns. Now, you want to go in the gunner, he's not a good gunner yet, that's cool. But I need touchdowns. I don't need a tackle. I need touchdowns.
All right,
okay?
Shakes. Hold on one second. No, you
got
to understand this.
Let him finish.
All right, go.
Let him
go.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, and also just play these young guys. Like Coon over Bromley. Don't make no sense to me. Stevie Brown struggling. You don't play Burhead. Who else I'm thinking about? Demontre Moore. Kiwi has sucked all year. And Demontre Moore don't get enough reps out there. This is the things that I'm talking about with the coaching staff, that they don't play these young guys because of inexperience.
But the
guys that's experienced ahead of them is not doing nothing. That's my thing.
Now, hold on a second. Burry's got an ankle issue right now. And that's okay. That's one of the issues that you're not seeing more of him. He has been in on special teams. You mentioned Washington, and I told you before, I explained it to you. It's not just about special teams play. He's not getting the job done Monday to Saturday to the coach's satisfaction. So that's not just not playing specials on Sunday. That's also not getting everything up to speed during the week.
Yeah, you don't want a repeat of the Bears game last year where receiver runs an out and the quarterback throws it in and it's a pick six. I mean, you don't want to see that again.
The only way that I agree with you, Shakes, is that a couple of weeks ago, you know, when Preston Parker was having a really, really bad game. Sorry, pal. and here's the thing. He was having a real bad game, and it's like, all right, you might as well just throw the guy in there for now. Well, that's fine. That's a little different than saying, oh, he's got to get reps because he's earned it. He hasn't earned it, all right? 2 weeks ago, I said throw him in there out of desperation as a relief pitcher. You know, sometimes you throw a relief pitcher in there during the game. That doesn't mean he's won a spot the next week. All it means is that for today, we're going to go with you. That's how I feel about Corey Washington.
And let's not forget, guys, opening day on the road in Detroit, the first goal line play they threw was a corner fade route.
That was so obvious, though, Roman. Come on, man.
Well, I mean,
I've seen that.
They put him under the lights as a rookie, so he's had opportunities.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to make that play. It wasn't.
Right.
He couldn't make that play. They're not holding out against him because that was an untouchable ball.
Can I get
Shakes, before you go, you mentioned Bromley. Bromley is raw. Okay, they like his skills. They like his talent. Here's the way you have to think about Bromley. Bromley is going to be brought along in the Jonathan Hankins mode. If you remember, when they got Hankins, they loved him. But they said, you know what? Last year as a rookie, he's not going to see time. They put all the veterans in. Hankins barely sniffed the field. And now this year he's starting. Bromley's in a similar boat where he's raw. They're bringing him along to watch. And at the appropriate time, probably next year, we don't know if Colin Jenkins is going to be back or Mike Patterson's going to be back.
Yeah, it might be a situation where Colin Jenkins and Bromley and Hankins will be starting.
You'll see Bromley in due time.
Okay, but still, I hate the fact that they do that and just let these kids develop because it's no other teacher than being on the field, man. You got to be on the field to learn.
I know.
He's going to make these mistakes.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, okay? You're still of the mindset that you want to win every week, right?
Yeah.
You still believe that, Shakes? Okay,
yep.
If you do, then you still have to go with the guys who you think give you the best chance. And right now, putting a rookie in there who's inexperienced and is going to make rookie mistakes may not help your cause to win games. I love Andre Williams. He's going to be really, really, really good, okay?
Yeah.
But his inexperience has definitely hurt this team in the last month.
No,
you know,
that's a good
you've got to live with those rookie mistakes, and they'll hurt you.
And you don't want
that's
it to hurt. You don't want it to hurt a rookie's confidence. Look, I didn't play my rookie year at all. I mean, I was
that's true.
Two games.
I remember that
field goal protection or whatever. Imani Toomer, first game was against Dallas. He runs the wrong route. Deion Sanders interception.
Right.
He didn't see the field at all unless
that's
he was
right.
returning punts. The next year we both started, and I started for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean,
again, and so they weren't going to just throw me in there for the sake of throwing me in. And in addition to the fact that, Mike, you have to have a different kind of confidence coming in. And again, this isn't the Denver Broncos. I mean, look, this isn't the Denver Broncos where you're blowing a team out in the second half. You can afford to give Corey Washington an entire quarter against defensive starters that are still trying to win the football game. And, I mean, we wish that were the case, that things were different, circumstances were different.
Well,
this
sure
is a team
we do.
That was had
sure
the record that Arizona had, and I'm sure those young guys are playing in the second half of games. But, again, at some point, you know, fans have their perspective, which I totally respect, because fans really build this game. I mean, fans build the credibility of the game. But we also have to respect the coaching staff and what they're – until they're no longer the coaching staff, whatever coaching staff it, you have to respect their ability to prepare and try to win every game the way they see fit. And this organization – it's not like the Dallas Cowboys where you're not going to see John Mara every Monday making comments to the media about what the team should have done, the quarterback, the offense, defense, who's the owner but the de facto general manager. I mean, you're not going to see that in this organization. So we all have to respect the approach of what sees fit.
Shakes, I will add this. I will add this as you go. Tom Coughlin, in my mind, certainly has a realistic chance of going to the Hall of Fame when he retires, whenever that is. Okay? I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I mean, some guys get into this political thing where, oh, they don't like him because he's from New York and they blah, 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 blah. You know, the Hall of Fame balloting is very, very political.
Right.
If I had a vote, I would vote for Tom Coughlin for the Hall of Fame. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a man and as Shakes will let you go, but as a man and as a head coach. I really do believe that almost every week when the Giants go out onto the field to play, they have an edge on the sideline over the team on the other side of the field.
Right.
I really do.
Right.
I think that strongly about Tom Coughlin and his X's and O's and his ability to prepare his team to go into the game. Now, what happens in terms of execution during the game? What happens with the coordinators with their adjustments? What happens with some decisions that some players make or audibles that are called maybe by the quarterback or maybe maybe the defense wasn't set right because the linebacker or the safety didn't see what they wanted to see? Those things can all change the picture, and I understand that. But I have to tell you that Monday to Saturday and then Sunday to kickoff, there are very few people who I would want to run this team other than Tom Coughlin.
Right.
And the only reason that I would even say now is if Tom is tired and worn out by it, which I don't think he is, or if he would just, that's it. I'm just, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
I accept that. I respect that. I understand that. Now you got to look for somebody else. But me, this is me. This is not anybody upstairs because I'm not going to speak for them. I still think Tom Coughlin's a hell of a football coach.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes when, you know, Tony Dungy said this best when he said that at a certain point, you know, all coaches have a kind of a 10-year window.
And where, I understand that.
The message that you continuously reach.
I do.
You have to
I understand
make sure,
that.
And I think Parcells, was when he kept moving around and making sure, like, changing the environment, and maybe he wanted to retire, didn't want to retire, or what have you, but in terms of that window you have to reach the players, I mean, there is a certain window because the message gets stale or whatever. I'm not saying that against Coach Coughlin at all, but, I mean, look at the coaches, Bill Cowher. I mean, coaches that had that long tenure. And again, it goes back to this organization. You haven't seen – I've been on teams, the organizations that were dysfunctional. Ownership.
Oh, sure.
Ownership, dysfunctional. Personnel, dysfunction. There is no dysfunction in this organization, and that's why throughout the history of this organization, there's always a Super Bowl appearance on an average of every decade, an average of good teams, and an average of the better half of the teams in the league. When you have teams like Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Oakland Raiders, I mean, the Reds still always struggling to find an identity, and they try to change it by wiping out a staff and bringing another one. Don't like it 3 years, wipe out a staff. That's not the case for this organization.
I will say only two things. About Coach Coughlin as we kick off this show, or should I say send it out. A, he is still a tireless worker.
100%.
Who gives 25 hours a day, if that's possible,
right,
to trying to find that extra something that will help his team win.
Right.
Okay? I still see that in him. I've never once seen Tom Coughlin not give 150% during the week,
right,
trying to get his team ready. And I have seen coaches do that. Let me make something very clear. I've seen that before. I don't see that in Tom Coughlin, okay? That's first. Second thing about Tom Coughlin, no matter what is said about his disciplinary type rules, no matter what is said maybe about his hard-nosed attitude or whatever else there is when people come here or people from the outside who don't know him, when they sit here and they work for him and they understand his work ethic, and they understand what it is that he's trying to accomplish, they all wind up respecting him. They all do.
Yeah.
They all respect him. No matter what happens in terms of the results, the respect is there. And as long as that's there, I still think he can do the job. My take.
I agree. Yep.
He's Roman Albin. I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. We are here every Monday to Friday from noon to 1 Eastern Time to talk Giants football. Write the number down, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat. Tomorrow is Friday. You'll have John Schmelk and former Giants punter Jeff Fiegels to take your phone calls. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Well, here we go.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no